If you'd like to turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 12, not exactly what I've intended to talk about this evening, and I'll probably be very brief tonight. I'm going to be fair with you. But Paul, as he writes the book of Romans, and throughout the first part of the book of Romans, he shows us God's doctrinal plan of salvation. He teaches us that no man can be saved by any other way than the blood of Jesus Christ. And that anyone that is born into this world is born with a sinful nature. And because of God's grace and His mercy and His love, Jesus came into the world and died even when we were yet sinners. And so Paul talks about how that God redeemed us by the blood of Christ. In chapters 9, 10, and 11, they are kindly what we would call parenthetical chapters in the Bible. Paul there talks about the nation of Israel. Most of those chapters are dealing with God blinding them at this particular time. Doesn't mean that Jews cannot be saved. It just means national salvation to the Jews is not yet coming. I was going to talk tonight about the second coming, but I'll talk about something else, because in chapter 12, Paul begins to talk to us about how that we should live in this present world. And sometimes I think that's important tonight for us as God's people to know and what the Lord expects of us, and tonight to understand what God has really done for us. He begins in verse 1, of course, a very familiar verse of Scripture, I'm sure. He said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." Paul said, "But because of everything that I've already said, you're not going to do this that you might become saved. You're not going to do this that you might go to heaven. You're going to do this because God loved you. This is the reason you're going to do this. This is the reason I'm asking you to do this. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You see, God doesn't want a dead sacrifice anymore. In the Old Testament, they would bring to the altar of God those animals, and they would slay them upon the altar and pour out the blood. And those sacrifices were not living sacrifices, but they were dead sacrifices. God today does not want us to bring to Him things in our hand, but He asks us for a living sacrifice. He wants our bodies. He wants to work and live and walk and love people through us. That's the way God operates in this generation in which you and I live, this dispensation in which you and I live. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save people that believe. God has chosen to have a church in this world tonight that the church might present the gospel to all the world. God has chosen people tonight to be the instruments of His service. And He's asking us to be a living sacrifice, that we would allow Him to use our bodies in His service. And Paul says, which is your reasonable service. It's not something tonight that's unreasonable. It's not God asking you to do something that you can't do. But it's your reasonable service. God wants to use us tonight to love other people through. He wants to use us tonight to witness to others tonight of His grace. He wants to use us tonight to support mission. He wants to use us tonight to reach into the world and shine the light of the gospel. Paul said that's our reasonable service because of all that the Lord has done for us. And he said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Don't be conformed to the world. You know, we're not to think like the world. I think about this verse of Scripture many times when I begin to think about many of the things that is taking place in Christianity so to speak, today. We're told so many times that we are to conform to the world. We are to have to become like the world, that we're going to reach the world. Well, Paul says the exact opposite is what I'm understanding here. He said, we're not to be conformed to the world. We're not to be like the world. Jesus said, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. But now, how can that take place? He said, but be ye transformed. We have to be changed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind has to be renewed. How is our mind renewed? By the holy word of God. And then he said that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, I have a lot of people through the years tell me, Pastor, I'd like to know what God's will for my life is. And when I was a young preacher, sometimes I really did not know what to say. I listened to many sermons about the will of God. I heard many preachers preach on the will of God. And to be fair with you, many times I was more puzzled after I got through listening than I was before I began. And I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you the honest truth. But one day I began to think about this. If we have a loving God in glory, and we do, and He wants us to do something, and that's His will for us, then He's not going to hide it from us. I can't tell you in every instance, or probably in any instance, what God's will for you personally is tonight. I can't do that. God can tell you, and He will tell you. I can tell you that there are certain things in the Scripture that God says is His will for all of His children tonight. But I can tell you tonight that if you want to know God's will, then God will reveal that to you. But He's not going to do it tonight until, as Paul said, that you might prove, that you might know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. What is the perfect will of God for my life tonight? I want to know that. And God reveals that to me. The will of God for my life is for me to be the pastor of Rocky Springs Baptist Church at this point of time in my life. It's to be a presenter and a proclaimer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus tonight. It's to be a witness of the grace of God. I've had many questions in my mind the past few days, as I can't help but have those questions. I don't think anybody could. But the one thing that I can tell you as plainly as I could ever tell you tonight is God has a will for my life. A tragedy. No, I don't want to call it a tragedy. It's not a tragedy. It's traumatic. But a tragedy is a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. But what is God's will for me in this? The same thing it was. I'm to still be a witness of His grace. You know, Brother Brown used to say some of this stuff, easy preaching and hard living. And you know, tonight, this is kindly, I'm not going to tell you it's easy preaching tonight, but it's hard living. But I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that in all of this that I go through, no matter what it is, that I'm still to be a witness of God's grace. I'm to be a presenter of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm kind of like Peter sometimes when he told the Lord, oh, help me of little faith. I'm not going to always tell people I have great faith, because I don't. I trust the Lord. I love the Lord. I know in this instance He didn't make a mistake. I don't know all the answers, and I may not know until I arrive in His presence. And then, to be fair with you, it probably won't make any difference anyway. But He's got a will for my life tonight, and that will hasn't changed. And I'm going to do my very best to still do what God wants me to do. He didn't hide it. He knows, I know what that is to speak. In verse 3, he said, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." My grandma used to tell me every once in a while, and I'm sure some here can identify with this. She'd say, "Young man, go get me a switch. You done got too big for your britches." You know, sometimes I think that's the way the Lord has to do me every once in a while. I want to get a little bit too big for my britches. Paul said, "You better quit thinking of yourself higher than you think you are." He said, "You begin to think soberly. You begin tonight to understand that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." What does that mean? I pondered that for many years. I believe tonight, exactly what it means tonight is this. Whatever God has for me, He'll give me the measure of faith for me to do it, for me to trust Him in that hour. I believe that. Whatever it is that God has for me, He'll give me the faith in that hour. Brother Bruce's illness, and I hope you don't mind me saying, I don't know right now that I got the faith that Brother Bruce has in his time of trouble. But he may not have the faith that I have in my time of trouble. God gives us different faith. Whatever we need, God measures that out for us tonight. And He gives us to get us through that time. Brother Ellis went through some pretty tough times, didn't you, Brother Ellis? But God gave you faith to get you through it. You know, I don't know what may happen to some of all of us tomorrow, but I believe God will give us faith if we'll do that. I can't say I'd do this or that or the other because I don't know what I might do. But I believe that God will give me faith to get me through it. And Paul begins to talk through the rest of this chapter about different things. He said in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." You know, he compares the church to the human body here. And he said it has one member, and all members have not the same office. You know, we don't do certain things with certain parts of our body. We do other things. But then he goes on to say, you know, they're all members one of another. My shoulder been giving me a lot of trouble. Desi has some problems with her knee. Some of you probably have problems with other parts of your body. But because my shoulder's bad, it affects the rest of my body. When one part of your body hurts, the other part hurts, doesn't it? You ever thought about that? That's what Paul is saying here, that we're all, every member, one of another. We're all members, one of another. And we have then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Each of us has a different gift that God, the Lord has given to us tonight. He gives people different gifts. And he begins to list many of the gifts that the Lord gives to people. You know, he talks about prophecy. He talks about ministry. He talks about teaching. He talks about exhorting. That's being an encourager. Now, we need some encouragers. Well, think about the folks that be laying in a hospital bed and somebody would come in to visit them. Well, what did the doctor say was the matter? He said this, and, well, you know, my uncle had that. Well, what happened to him? He died. Well, that's real encouraging, isn't it? Get out of here. I remember one time I was on an airplane. This lady was sitting beside me. We were coming from Dallas, Texas to Memphis, Tennessee. She'd been telling me all these places she had flown. They cranked that plane up. We were sitting there, and she said, "That engine don't sound right, does it?" I said, "Shut your mouth." "Lord, have mercy, woman. I'm nervous as I can be anyway." Well, it really made it bad about that time the pilot come over and said, "We have a malfunction." But, you know, we need to be encouragers. There are people that have the gift of encouraging. I'm glad they're out there. I don't always have that ability. But I'm God tonight, the Lord's got some encouragers. We need somebody to encourage us this evening. He talks about, verse 9, he said, "Let love be without dissimulation," and that literally means without hypocrisy. We're to be genuine, not fake. "Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? "Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord." Well, sometimes I'm not quite as fervent as I ought to be. I don't know about you. But I'll be fair with you. I'm not always as fervent. I'm not always as excited. But, you know, the Lord can make us excited tonight. We'd be fervent in our spirit. We'd have a burning, glowing desire to serve the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope. I'm rejoicing tonight in hope. I'm honest with you. You have to bear with me a little bit now. This and I started over here. A lot not to come. Boy, it was lonesome coming out of that house without that little girl. She's always in the car waiting on us. It was lonesome. And I'm not rejoicing that she didn't come with me, brother. But I'm rejoicing in the hope that Jesus has given me. Glory to God, I'll see her again. That's what I'm rejoicing in tonight. I'm not rejoicing in something happened to my baby. But I'm rejoicing that the Lord give me hope tonight that I'll see her again. Thank God there's light at the end of the tunnel. I think the tunnel ends getting a little closer all the time. Rejoicing in hope. We're to be rejoicing in hope. Well, this next one's kind of gets to me because he said, "Patient in tribulation." If you know me, there's one thing I'm not real good at is patience. My wife said, "Amen." Amen. I'm not patient. But you know, sometimes, as Isaiah said, we have to wait on the Lord. You see, when I'm in tribulation, when I'm in trouble, I want it stop right now. I felt so, I don't know what, when I'd be talking to Brother Bruce and I'd say, "Well, have you heard from the doctor?" "No, they hadn't called me back yet." That's the most frustrating thing in the world. I got problems and I can't even get the doctor to call me back. And I know that's got to be frustrating. It's hard to have patience then, isn't it? But that's what he said. We have patience in tribulation. We're waiting on the Lord. And I hate to wait. I don't even like red lights. I don't like elevators. We'd be patient in tribulation. And you say, how can you do that? He gives you that clue in the next part of the verse, continuing instant in prayer. That's the only way you can be patient. It's hard to get impatient if you're talking to the Lord. That's what he's saying. Be instant. Right then. You know, no matter, just start praying. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. I think that describes Rocky Springs Baptist Church to a T. Thank you. That's all I need to say about that, as far as Dunk would say. Bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. I have a little bit of problem with that one every once in a while. But I found tonight that when I begin to speak words of blessing to them, God always blesses me. May not make me any better looking, may not give me any more money, any different house, but he always blesses my heart. I used to know a fellow, and every time I see him, I think, boy, one day the Lord said, you know, you ought to start blessing him. So I just started, every time I see him, I start, bless him, Lord. Do something good for him, Lord. I was a hypocrite for a few times. But the Lord began to change me the more I said that. Because then I really wanted the Lord to bless him. And the Lord began to bless me. As I said, it wasn't necessarily any material good. He just blessed me in my heart. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. And weep with them that weep. We're to rejoice and we're to weep. You know, sometimes the greatest thing you can do is just weep. I told Desi the other evening, I said, you know, some things don't necessarily have a rigid rule, but sometimes the folks that say the least say the most. People that just weep with you. They feel your sorrow because you're part of their body. I appreciate that tonight. I want you to know that. Des and I are just overwhelmed with that. But you felt our pain and you felt our hurt and you wept with us tonight. You know, sometimes we get to rejoice. Every time one of these little babies is born, we can rejoice. And we can all rejoice together because God's body is being increased tonight. Isn't that wonderful tonight? That's what we're to do. This is what the Lord says we're to do and how we're to live as we go through this world. You see, the Lord is working through us. I'm going to quit in a second, but I got one, I just one more couple of things. The hardest lesson that I've learned as far as really being a pastor is so simple that I don't know why it took me so long to figure it out. That is, I never again want to pastor a church. I want to pastor God's people. I want to be their shepherd. The Lord's a good shepherd. I hope you don't, I'm not trying to take the Lord's place now, but he's got under shepherds that I can minister to you. I don't pastor this building or these grounds. That's what I'm saying tonight. You're the people of Rocky Springs. You're the church. I just want to be God's shepherd tonight. I just want to pastor you and love you as you love me. That's what God really calls us to do. We just reach out through love and love each other. Present the gospel. You know? And it's just like children sometimes. Sometimes, you know, you have to say, wait a minute, children. We got to stop and do this now. We got a little problem here. And you don't do it because you do it because you love them, because you're the shepherd. but I just want to love you as you've loved me tonight. I just want to let the Lord work through me to love you. And you let the Lord work through you and you let all love each other. You ever thought how many problems that solves in our world today? We just love each other. So this evening, he said in verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but consent to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. None of us are smarter as we think we are. He said, recompense no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 18, he said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That doesn't mean we compromise the word of the Lord. We don't compromise the doctrine of Christ. We don't change the gospel. But it very simply means that we don't run around looking for a fight with everybody we come across tonight. I'm going to close with verse 21. He said, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Tonight the Lord wants to use me and he wants to use you. He wants to reach out to a world tonight for us to be his witnesses and his testimony, for us to shine the light of the gospel into all the world tonight. And no matter what happens to us in this walk of life, we'll get the measure of faith we need. I say this to you from the bottom and the depths of my heart. I thank each of you tonight, each of you, for every kind word, every tear and every hug. There'll be so many things I couldn't think of, so I'll leave something out. But everything tonight. Because you love me, and I know that. But I want you to know I love you too. May the Lord bless you abundantly and continue to bless all of us tonight. And let us reach out in love to a world that needs to know the Lord Jesus. All right, if you stand together with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. Lord, I thank you tonight, Lord, that you love me, that you cared for me. I thank you tonight, Lord, that no matter what takes place in my life, you're always there. And Lord, I ask you this evening to give me strength, give me faith, give me that which I need in this hour to be your witness, to be your testimony, to do my very best for you, even in my darkest hour. In Jesus' name, amen.